Father, we come before you. We thank you for this time that you've granted to us to look in your word as we reference chapter 48, the cup people, as we look at it from a pastor's point of view. And I just pray that you be glorified in it. Speak to us mightily, Lord. Teach us the things you would have us to know. And we just give you all the glory, the praise, and the honor that's due your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to take verses out of Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and chapter 12. And I titled this, How Are You Connected to Life? How are you connected to life? Through the teaching of evolutionary science, materialism, and a reckless morality in our media and public school system, we've removed God from the answers to the ultimate questions of life. Without God, we lose any purpose for the universe in which we live. Without God, we lose any purpose to give meaning to our lives. We're nothing more than insects struggling with survival until we die. Without God, we lose any possibility for life after death. You see, when you remove the hope of heaven, you remove the ultimate value and purpose of life. I mean, what difference would it make whether we live like Billy Graham or Osama bin Laden? Because everyone's fate would be the same anyway. This is the hopeless outlook of those who base their belief system on materialism, naturalism, and the thinking that life on earth is all there is. There's a wise man in the Bible. He asked the question, is life worth living? Well, after experimenting and investigating life, he came to the conclusion, no, life is not worth living. Now that might shake you up a little, but this wise man gave four reasons to support his conclusion. Number one, the stress of life. Number two, the deceit of wisdom. Number three, the emptiness of wealth. And number four, the certainty of death. Now that is true. But being a wise man, King David's son Solomon re-examined his reasons. This time, he brought God into the picture, and it made all the difference. He realized life wasn't stressful, but filled with challenging situations from God. Each in its own time, and each for its own purpose. He learned that wealth could be enjoyed and used to God's glory. He learned through man's wisdom that it couldn't explain everything. He concluded it was better to follow God's wisdom than to practice man's. As for death, there's no way to escape it, but it should motivate us to enjoy life now and make the most of the opportunities God gives us. So Solomon came to the conclusion and means to apply what he learned in four ways. And I'm going to look at these real briefly. Number one, life is an adventure to live by faith. Ecclesiastes 11 verse 6 says, in the morning sow your seed. In the evening do not withhold your hand. For you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. I like what this guy Anton Chekhov said. He said, any idiot can face a crisis. It's this day-to-day living that wears you out. I get it. In life, faith is required because we can't always control the situation or the circumstances. Life has a lot of risk to it. This is where faith comes in. You see, man is ignorant of the future, but he can't allow his ignorance to make him so afraid that he becomes careless and it makes him paralyzed. Solomon spoke about the farmer and the work being hard. It was especially true in the Holy Land in Bible days. The people tilled a rocky ground. They depended on the early and latter rains for their seed to grow. The problem is nobody can predict the weather, let alone control it. So the farmer is at the mercy of when it will rain. But you always can't sit around waiting for the right circumstances. You just can't do that. If you're looking for an excuse for doing nothing, you can find one. Billy Sunday said, "An excuse is the skin of a reason stuffed with a lie." That's what it comes down to. Life is an adventure. We have to move out by faith, even at times when we don't feel like it. God has a time and a purpose for everything. That's why we live by faith in His Word. It means trusting God to bless what you have accomplished. Life is an adventure of faith. Each day we're investing in that which will pay us back later when we stand before our Lord Jesus Christ at His Bema seat, His judgment seat. The second conclusion, life is a gift. We need to enjoy it. Ecclesiastes 11, verses 9 to 10. Solomon wrote, "Rejoice, young man, in your youth. Let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity." What's he talking about? What's he trying to get across here? Solomon is instructing young people to take advantage of the days of youth before the days of darkness come. He's not saying young people have no problems. He's not saying older people have no fun. He's simply saying, be young. Being young is a time for enjoyment before the problems of old age start to happen to us the rest of years. Young people are to watch your hearts, their ears, and their eyes. Because what you feel, what you hear, and what you see can lead you into sin. Walk in the ways of your heart. It doesn't mean you can go and party your brains out and do whatever you want to do. Evil and sin will destroy the body, and it will bring eternal judgment to the soul. Those who take care of their minds and bodies stay away from the sins of the flesh. They build good habits of health and holiness. They will have a better chance for a happy life as they get older. Can I hear anybody say amen before I continue? Solomon came to the conclusion, it's all vanity. He emphasized the emptiness of life without God. And when you look at life, everything can seem vain. But when you know Jesus as your Savior, you realize your labor is not in vain in Him. The third conclusion, life is a school to learn our lessons. Chapter 12, Ecclesiastes, verses 9 to 12 says, "And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs." Of course, Solomon is the writer of the Proverbs. "The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright, words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. And further, my son, be admonished by these. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh." God teaches us His truth as we advance in the school of life. He gives us wisdom to make the right decisions. He teaches us through creation, through history, and through the various experiences of life. The fourth and final conclusion I see here, life is a stewardship to fear God. Chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Solomon said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. We don't own our lives. Life is a gift from God. For us who are born-again believers, we've been purchased with a price. God's own Son shed His blood for us in our place so we could go to heaven. One day we'll have to give an account to God of what we've done with His gift, this gift of life. Corrie ten Boom said, "The measure of a life, after all, is not its duration, but its donation." Our life is a donation to mankind. So if you want your life to count, I'll finish with these three things you need to do. Number one, you need to fear God. Oswald Chambers wrote, "The remarkable thing about fearing God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas if you don't fear God, you fear everything else." Secondly, you have to keep God's commandments. You've heard the saying, when all else fails, read the instructions. I should have learned that early in life, especially at Christmas time, putting together toys for my three daughters. I thought I could put them together without the instructions. Well, that's the way it is walking this spiritual walk. We need the instructions, or we're going to fall on our face. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. When Solomon looked at life under the sun, everything was in pieces. But when he looked at life from God's point of view, everything came together into one whole picture. Third, you need to prepare for final judgment. Chapter 3, verse 17 in Ecclesiastes says, "God will judge the righteous and the wicked." Chapter 11, verse 9, "But know for all these, God will bring you into judgment." Six times, Solomon tells us to enjoy life while we can. But I want to be specifically clear as I wrap this up. At no time do we see Solomon ever tell anyone to enjoy sin. I've heard people take these verses out of context and say that's what he said. In conclusion, what is our connection to life? It's by faith in our Lord, and it's by knowing His word. Father, we thank you for this teaching. Thank you for the things that you reveal to us and teach us. And I pray, Father, through it that we would learn what life is all about. It's a gift from you. You've given us this life so that we would donate our life in your service to mankind. God, be glorified in and through us. We love you, Father. You're an awesome God. And there's no way we could come to heaven apart from you. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who leads and guides and teaches us every day and helps us to make the decisions in this life. For your sake and for your kingdom. To you be all the glory, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.